God gave me the clearest communication he's ever given. So we realized God wants us to go to Austin and start a church for unchurched people.
Now a new church in North Austin is trying to lure 20-somethings back to religion.
And there was a lot of energy and there's just a lot of commitment. And we came and we'd have a meal.
A lot of times John was playing the guitar and leading us in worship.
And Kathy, his wife, would sing and just talk about, we're gonna create this, what it really meant.
It was an adventure.
Gateway's doors are open to anyone of any age with an open mind about what church is supposed to look and sound like.
We were all seekers, we were all new Christians. It was totally okay to be awkward spiritually. It was okay not to know anything.
The most lost, broken, struggling people are serving others as Jesus came to serve.
You know, 25 years ago when we did this, I remember thinking, okay, God sees all the people that Gateway's gonna touch.
And you know, we've seen over 5,000 people come to faith since that time.
God loves to take ordinary people like you, like me, and do extraordinary things through us. That's life-giving life. That's what I want to be a part of for the rest of my life.
Thank you. All right, you guys sit down, or we're never going to get through this. thank you so much. You know, when I look back over the last 25 years, truly, I'm in awe of God. I don't know if many of you know that song. It's by Nirvana. Okay, it was like popular in the 90s, and it was Come As You Are. And that's how we started Gateway. Not because of a Nirvana song, but it was a generation that could understand that that's God's invitation of grace. As is, come, just come. And that's how we started Gateway. And you know, today won't be the last message that I ever give at Gateway. I'm gonna be taking a break for a while till the fall, but Carlos has asked me to continue on the teaching team. But God has called me and Kathy to write books and start a new ministry. I'm gonna be moving into the founding pastor role. But I wanna remind you, because this is my last message to you as your senior pastor. I wanna remind you why God started Gateway. Because you know, 26 years ago in Chicago, it was a cold winter day. We're driving along the road. My friend Brett asked me, you know, how long are you going to be in Chicago? And I said, I don't know. When God says it's time, we'll leave. But I know I'll be here through the year 2000. And that day in worship, clearest message I've ever gotten from God, it's time. And I go home and I tell Kathy and we start praying about what that means. And, you know, he ended up leading us to start Gateway. But part of that process is I would be praying and driving down the road and I'd be hearing songs from the culture. And it was like in every song of the culture, God let me hear the cries of a generation that he saw. Just like Kathy said, he saw many of you. He saw you. And he saw that there wasn't necessarily a church that would let people know how much God cared about people who are hurting or marginalized or lost or broken or addicted or struggling. And he wanted a church to go and invite people, come as you are, because that's how God takes you. And Gateway, please don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose the grace of God as the front door. Come as you are. You know, we came to Austin, and I remember our next door neighbor, one night we were out talking, he said, so what do you do for a living? And I said, well, I'm actually going to start a church for people who don't do church. And he said, how do you start a church? And I said, I'll tell you when I find out. And he said, and why in the world would you start a church for people who don't want anything to do with church? And that's a good question. But we just knew that's what God wanted. That's why God started Gateway. And so Kathy and I moved to Austin. The only other couple that came with us was Ted and Stephanie Beasley. They moved from Chicago. And we only knew one couple here in Austin. It was Charles and Raquel Dischinger. And Raquel was still singing worship up here on stage. Charles is now on our executive team as one of our executive pastors. And, you know, it was just the six of us that we just started meeting people and inviting people in. And I have to say that Gateway Church would not be here today, at least not through us, unless Kathy had said yes to God. And I want to stand up, Kathy. You know, many of you don't know, but Kathy was, she left the world of financial consulting to be partners with me in ministry. And she was our first children's pastor for 3 years, volunteer. She was the first women's group leader, the first women's ministry leader. She sang worship. She pretty much did it all. And so it wouldn't be here without her. And so the six of us just started meeting people and inviting them to come explore faith, or if they're already believers but they weren't part of a church, come help us start a church for our generation. And after 6 months, we had four small groups meeting in homes, and I brought them together in the back room of Nate's house, and I gave them the first message, and that's the message I'm going to give you tonight, today. It feels like night. Here's the thing. I want to share the same thing because the culture has changed, the generation has changed, but God has not changed, you guys. And what he did with them life by life, he still wants to do through you. So we said that night, I said, I want to challenge you guys to be all in with God and come help us create a come as you are community where hurting, struggling, addicted, lonely people can come and find grace. And let's not even wait. Let's go to them like Jesus did. And they did. And life by life, God grew this community called the church. Nate was one of the very first ones. I met Nate. Nate had just become a follower of Jesus. And he was a moral mess, okay? But he went and bought a house with this back room and said, we'll start the church there. And we did. And Nate got in my first small group and he started to grow. And 3 years later, he's leading a small group of his own. And he meets Raph Robinson. Now, Raph actually owned two bars on 6th Street. And he was partying six nights a week, drugs and alcohol. His live-in girlfriend moved out and left him, said, I can't take your Vita Loca anymore. And he was despondent. And he's sitting there at his bar, and one of his bartenders said, man, you're a mess. You ought to go to this church I've been hearing about. They say no perfect people allowed. You'll fit perfectly. Okay, you know you're doing something right when bartenders are inviting their bosses to church. And that's how Gateway started. Raph comes, and Nate meets him, and Nate recruits him to translate on a project that Nate was leading with a bunch of men building houses in Mexico. Raph sees these men on that project, and he said to me after, he said, I saw the love and the vulnerability in these strong men, and I said to myself, I don't know what they have, but I want it. And Nate led Raph to Christ, and then Raph started to grow in a small group, and then he started to lead others to Christ. He meets Eddie Almodovar, who had come out of the drug culture in Miami and came to try to start it new in Austin. And Raph leads him to Christ and starts to disciple him in Raph's small group. And Eddie grows so much. 3 years later, he sells his condo and moves over onto Rainley Street in East Austin to minister among the refugee church that we had helped start over there. And then Raph continues on Wes and Prima were friends of his he used to party with, and they were about to get a divorce, and Wes reached out to Raph because he knew he and Erica had gotten back together and gotten married and they were staying clean. He said, "How did you do it?" And Raph leads Wes and Prima to faith, and they grow and heal their marriage down at our South Campus. And life by life, Raph and Erica are helping build our Dripping Springs campus today. Nate's in full-time ministry, continuing the same thing. Life by life, I've watched 25 years. That's how God grows his church. And you know, that's why I've always said church is not a building, and church is not a Sunday service. Church is people learning to love God and love one another so that we can love our neighbor as much as we do ourselves. And you know, whenever Jesus saw religious people who started to think that it was all about them and that God liked them more than others and had no compassion, that he rebuked them. You know, it says in Matthew 9, Matthew, who was a tax collector, invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guest, along with many other tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees, the religious leaders, saw this, they asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Did you ever realize that Jesus could be sarcastic? Don't miss that. He didn't think they were healthy. They were going to crucify him. And Jesus said to them, "Go learn what this scripture means. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call those not who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." You know, whenever we start to think that God loves us as followers of Jesus more than he loves people out there, we've lost the heart of Jesus, because Jesus came to seek and save that which God lost. So Gateway, don't ever lose that heart. And what's been amazing is you haven't. And to this very day, you have shown that amazing heart. And like I said in that video, we've seen over 5,000 people from every walk of life and background find faith and start to follow Jesus. And that night I said to that core group of 24, "We're gonna start with grace, come as you are." And I said, "But don't stay as you are, grow." Because the truth is God sees every one of us as a masterpiece that he wants to restore to become who he intended. You know, I've shared this many times before. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, "It is by grace that you are saved or set right with God, by faith. It's a gift from God, nothing you've done. Why? For we are God's masterpiece, created to do the good works he planned long ago." So just think about that. Before you were ever born, God saw you. And he saw you as a unique work of art that he was creating. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, to restore you to the master artist who can help you become the masterpiece he intended. And here's the thing, you guys, if that's true about you, that's true about every person out there. That's why he gave grace, to restore us, and that we might grow together to become the people he intended us to be. And the way we do that is when we create the right soil or environment. You know, we say around here, no perfect people allowed. And the reason we say that is because many times in churches, people play a game. They pretend they're a little bit better than they really are. They won't really talk about the sins they still struggle with, or the doubts or the struggles. And when we do that, we just stay stuck. And so from the very beginning, I said to that core group, we're not gonna play that game. No perfect people allowed here. And here's the reason why. In 1 Corinthians 3, it says this, Paul says this. He said, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. But we are God's co-workers in his service." And do you see this? See, whose job? It's not your job to grow, fix, or change other people. Whose job is that? God. Only God can make things grow. But notice, we are his co-workers. In what? In the soil. See, we create the soil in which God causes the human plant to grow. And what's the soil? The soil is the culture. And so we have said from the very beginning, we're going to be a church of small groups. And we still are today, of life groups and community groups and restore and recovery groups. And why? Because in that smaller group, we can do the one another's. We can create the soil of love and acceptance and grace and confession, honesty. No perfect people allowed. Because it also says in James 5:16, it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. That's why we've said no perfect people allowed. So we would stop the pretense, and in the environment of acceptance and grace, we would help each other trust God more and more and grow. And he would heal us. And we have seen that happen in such amazing ways for 25 years. You know, Paul Turner was an atheist when one of his coworkers invited him to this church meeting in a movie theater. And he thought, that's so weird, I've got to see. And so he came and he started to listen to the message, and he started to open up to the idea of faith. And he invited his sister, Susie Turner, who was a modern day woman at the well. She'd already been divorced 3 times and she was only 27. And she had so much guilt and shame for so much that had happened to her in life. But Paul said, no, you got to come. I think this will help you. And Susie did come, and she kept hearing us talk about no perfect people allowed, and she didn't believe it, but then she took a risk and she got into a women's group, and these women didn't judge or play games and pretend. They actually confessed their struggles to one another and prayed for one another, and she began to do that. And I watched God lead her on such an amazing healing journey over the next 3 or 4 years. And at the same time, Kenny Martin was in my first men's small group with Nate, and he had just come to Christ. He was messing his spiritual diapers weekly. And it's like that. That's what church is like. It's messy. Your people are growing up together, right? But Kenny started to grow in that group. And before long, Kenny was leading a men's group, and Susie a women's group, and Kenny was leading our connections, and Susie was leading our whole food pantry at the synagogue, and they both met each other in leadership community. And 2 years later, I married them. And 21 years later, they're still married. 21. And they have 2 beautiful daughters who love Jesus and are part of our high school ministry. And today, Kenny leads all of our IT volunteers, and Susie is on our executive team with Carlos, leading all of our staff development. Because God heals when we create the right culture. God grows when we create the right culture. And that's why from the beginning, and we will always say, get connected in a small group, because that's where we grow and heal, when we let God transform us. And in those small groups, we've always made the Bible our North Star. Don't ever lose that gateway. The Bible tells us who God is and his character and his will. And always keep the word of God as your North Star. And I told the group that night what I'm gonna say to you too. Will you live connected together? And will you let God transform you? And will you invite others in to do the same? Never playing the us for no more game, because God's family is open. God's party is an open party. And that night I said, imagine a church that has the same positive, loving impact on the world, that changes the world around us, just like Jesus did. You know, Jesus went into the villages. He went into the neighborhoods to heal and to serve and to feed and to clothe and to tell people what God was like. And the world changed around him. And the amazing mystery that God gives us is that we are actually now his body. That's what he calls the church. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, now you are the body of Christ. He's talking about the church. And each one of you is a part of it. And God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So one can't say to the other, I don't need you. It's like my hand can grab hold of things. But if it thinks that I don't need the feet because the feet can't grab anything, well, how are you going to get to the thing to grab it without the feet? Right? And that's the beauty and mystery of the church, is that God has given you unique abilities and gifts and resources and past experiences to use all of it together with others to be what Jesus was to the world together. And I said to them that night, imagine a church where you discover your gifts and your passions and how God wants to use even the bad stuff from your past to help heal others. And will you discover that and make your unique contribution, being all in with your resources and your time and your gifts and talents? And people did. And life by life, we saw that we can make a much bigger impact together than we ever could alone. You know, I think about over the years, a couple of people that have served behind the scenes. You haven't seen them. I've seen them the whole time. You know, one is Charles Dischinger, who has an amazing gift of leadership and administration. He was the youngest management team member of Computer Sciences Corporation. And after, I can't remember, I think it was 7 years or maybe it was 10, it took me to finally convince him. And he came on our staff and he oversaw building this building. And he's been on our executive team ever since, serving faithfully behind the scenes for 25 years. And then another person is, yeah. The other person is my assistant, Teresa Rosia, who for 20 years, she has been behind the scenes helping me in so many ways. And she truly is like Mother Teresa. That she could stand me that long is amazing. And they have used their gifts behind the scenes, and so many have. That's been our story. I think about Bill and Gina Guayo. You're always greeted by them out here, okay? But you don't know their story. Bill and Gene saw the towers come down, 9/11. They're agnostic. And they thought, if there's this much evil, could there be good? And coincidentally, a coworker invited them to Gateway. And Bill invited his brother, who is an atheist. And at 65 years old, they both came to faith. And I'll never forget baptizing these two 65-year-old men. I baptized them in a hot tub inside a synagogue. We've done our best to keep Austin weird, okay? That's just weird. But Bill hated his neighbor, and for good reason, because his neighbor was an abusive alcoholic. But as Bill started to grow in a small group, and one time we were doing the 60-60 experiment, and he felt God prompt him, take your neighbor a meal. He didn't want to, but he did it. And they took a meal, and that began a conversation. And Bill and Gene were able to share their story of life transformation. And the neighbors started coming here to Gateway North with them. And their kids loved, because of the volunteers who serve and love kids, they loved it. And they kept asking their parents to bring them back, and they did come back. And because of the volunteers who put on this Inspire service, they were able to hear the message of Jesus. And they heard about the other volunteers who lead our recovery ministry, and he got into recovery. And I will never forget standing there watching as Bill baptized his neighbor he once hated. And as the neighbor came up out of the water, these two men hugged. And I thought to myself, that is the kingdom of God. But it didn't stop there, because during that same season, a woman who managed properties on the east side saw Sarah trying to get her son out of the house, and he was in a wheelchair, but they had no ramp, and she helped them, and then found out that Scotty was pretty much imprisoned in his house because Sarah worked all day, his mom. And she was so troubled by it, she told Bill. Bill rallies other men to go and build Scotty a ramp and invite Sarah and Scotty to church. And they said, we can't come to church. We don't have clothes, because they were poor. He said, it's come as you are. It doesn't matter. Just wear something. And they came. And you know what? Bill got Scotty on his setup team. And if you've been here a while, you used to see Scotty wheeling his wheelchair around, picking stuff up and getting ready. It was the first team he'd ever been on. He loved it. And I'll never forget, several years later, Bill threw Scotty his very first birthday party, 100 of you, packed into that garage over there and celebrated. It was the first birthday party Scotty had, his 41st birthday. And you guys, I keep this picture in the office, because this is Bill baptizing Scotty for faith in Jesus the year before he went to heaven. Life by life. But see, that family before, Bill and that family and Scotty and his family, this all happened because all of us together, we use our resources and our gifts and we serve together. And we do so much more together than we could ever do apart. You know, like Ricky said, we've built a hospital in India among the poorest of the poor and drinking water for whole villages in Haiti and the Dominican Republic and Nicaragua and a medical clinic to give free medical care here in Austin and food pantries and more things than I could possibly tell you. But the reason I tell you that is because Kathy and I could never do that. No way. If those 24 people had not said yes, no way. If you had not said yes, no way. But look at what God does when we all say yes together. And that's what I left that 24 with that day. I told them this. I went on a limb and I said, you know, if you will say yes to God, if you'll say yes, God, take the gifts and the time and the resources and the love I have to give, and I'm yours. Do with me and us together what you want to see your kingdom come and your will be done. I said, if you'll do that, 10 years from now, we'll see thousands, maybe tens of thousands of lives changed. Will you say yes? And honestly, you guys, I didn't know if God was gonna do that. But 10 years later, that core group met together and he had done that. And you may not realize this, but God's writing a story. He's writing a story about your life. Do you know that? It says in the book of Revelation, Revelation 20, it says, I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and books were opened, including the book of life. The book of life is the names of everyone who's given their heart back to God through Christ. And you're in his family. But there's other books being written. There's a book about your life. And it's when you give God your yes, he begins to write a story of the faith and the hope and the love that comes through you to heal a broken, wounded, evil world as we do it together. And so I want to leave you with that. Will you say yes to God? Will you say yes to God in this next season? I'm all in. You know, I want to use the resources and the gifts and the time you've given me to be a part of what you want to do. Because life by life by life, you will one day see the ripple effect that's gone through your life because we all did it together. So let me pray. Let me pray, and I hope you will pray that. God, thank you so much for every person who said yes to you along the way. Because truly, that's all Kathy and I have done. I mean, we're just people. What could you do through us? Nothing. And all we did is say yes to you. And Lord, some said no along the way. And I thought the whole thing was going to bomb, but you brought others who said yes. And God, I pray for every person here that they will give their yes to you, that you might show the amazing story you'll write through them as Carlos and Libby and others lead into this new future. God, change the world. Continue to do life by life what you've done in this next generation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.